Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Project 223 podcast. We're glad to have you here with us today and excited to be back after a little break. And today we've got the power, talking to you about portable power systems and how you can use them to charge the devices and the things you need when you're out and about and the regular power is not available. So it's going to be a great episode today. I am going to talk about a few things that have been going on lately. We've been pretty busy here. Project 223 podcast, doing training other people, training ourselves, and having a good time. So first we'll talk about some stuff that's been happening with us lately. Did a team trip with my guys. We went to Eastern Washington and went over to some training over there and we had a great time. A friend of ours has some property, very remote area. No power, no phone, no nothing, out in the woods. And it was a great time to get together with the guys. We pulled out our gear, got our bug out bags out there, and trained. We practiced with doing tarp shelters using the Rapid Ridgeline concept. It's taught by many survival guys out there, Dave Canterbury and many others. The Gray-Bearded Green Beret has some great videos on that as well, but rapid way to deploy a line so that you could do a quick shelter should you need to get out of inclement weather or provide a overnight bivouac for yourself. So that was pretty fun. Guys trained in different methods out in the wild. We also got out our sleep systems and guys tried out hammocks and cots and different things. Some guys on the ground using mosquito netting, tents, and different options that you have for sleeping out in the field should you need to do that. For fun or for survival. We talk about both here. We like to enjoy the outdoors and enjoy our life. But should things get spicy, as we think they may in the future, we want you to be able to survive and to be efficient in your movements, working together with a group or alone. And so that's what we do is we train and then we talk about it. So that was a great time. We also did some shooting up there. Had a good time doing that. Tried out some new toys that we have in the arsenal. And then we also did some training on radio communications. We talked about our pace plans. And we also talked about working with a tactical SOI, which is a signal operating instructions. That would be your plan for communicating with your group. Should there be a time when you're out about doing a mission of some type and you want to have communications, gives you a set of guidelines, tactical. And a good way to, if you want to learn in depth about that from a great trainer, NC Scout from Brush Beater Training, does some awesome classes. He has his radio telephone operator, RTO class, and you can talk about that a lot in those training classes as well. Yes, we talked about that, and we enjoyed the sunshine. It did start storming on us in the middle of the night. We had an amazing thunderstorm. The lightning was ripping over us. And when the rain started falling, I had to set up my cod and mosquito netting, so I was just out open. I wanted to see the stars, but I was all prepared. I had my tarp ready to go, and when the rain came that evening, I stepped out and just lifted the tarp up and over my Rapid Ridgeline that I already had set up, staked it into the ground, crawled back into my sleeping bag, and I was able to sleep warm and dry while the rain came pouring down. So that was a fun time. We had one guy, one friend of mine, awesome dude, and he had, the weather was so nice that he just decided, I'm not going to put my rain fly up. And when the rain started coming down, he started looking for that rain fly and couldn't find it. And so he scrambled, he adapted, improvised, and overcame, and threw a tarp over his tent. But in the morning, he was sharing with me the lesson learned to be prepared no matter what, have the worst case scenario in mind, so that if things are normal and good, you're okay. But should that worst case scenario present itself, you would be ready and able to deal with it and not be stressed out or having a problem. And so that was a good lesson learned. And that's why it's so important to get out and do things. Don't just read about them on the internet. Don't just talk about them in preparedness forums, but actually take your gear, go out in the woods, go out and wherever your area of operation is that you feel like you're going to be operating and moving around and doing things in with your preparedness items, actually put those things to the test. It's very important. And it's also good to have a group of guys that you can go do that with so that you can have fun together, enjoy each other's company, but also learn from each other. We had set it up so that different guys could do a little training sessions. And so we were able to learn things from each other. So that was great. Great time in Eastern Washington. And some other items we've been busy with here is CPR training. We performed a CPR training for a local church that had their ministry workers, the people that guard the door and also take care of the kids. They wanted to train them up in CPR and first aid. So we ran a nice course for them, teaching them some of the hands-only CPR training that we do at the fire department. Well, actually, we use oxygen with bag valve masks, but most citizens don't have those. But we're giving them some of the latest CPR training guidelines and making sure that people could effectively do that. So that was a fun training class we had at local Calvary Everett. Also, just want to give a shout out to Electric North Jiu-Jitsu. Greg Anderson's studio there in Lake Stevens, Washington. My son-in-law came up and was visiting, and so we went down and checked that out. Unfortunately, looks like I might be going in for some knee surgery in the next week or two. So as we were there, I wasn't able to fully participate the way I wanted to. But my son had a great time checking out a few classes there while he was visiting. And they got a great atmosphere there. Some really cool people. I don't know if you've listened to Greg Anderson's podcast. He has the Endless Endeavor. So it's an interesting podcast, and he's a great guy. So if you're in the Lake Stevens area, they have a CrossFit studio there as well. So for people in Western Washington, Northern Puget Sound, it's a place to check out. Today's podcast, getting down to the business. We're going to talk about portable energy solutions. Do you have the power when the grid's down, when you're on the move? Are you able to keep your important devices powered up and ready to go? What are some of the things that we're thinking about when we're talking about portable energy solutions? Anytime we're training or gathering information about the way we want to operate, we need to think about the threat model and the use case that we're in. Threat model, that's basically what are the things we're worried about? What's the threats that we're facing in a certain situation? The use case is, what is the need? What's the scenario that we're in, and what is the actual need that we have? So we want to take those into consideration when we're talking about power systems. You've heard a military acronym of, they'd have talk about a METL, which is a missing essential task list, and you do a METTC analysis, which would you take into account the mission? What's your enemy you're facing? What's the terrain and weather? The troops available? The time available, or civilian considerations. So these are all things that we can take into account when we're thinking about power solutions, what we need, the problems that we're facing, and the use case that we're in. So we take all that into consideration on every time we're looking at different things like this. What are some things that you want to power that you may need power for when the grid's down? Some of the things when we're on the move, cell phones. Right? If the cell towers are still up and you can still communicate, a lot of people, that's their primary mode of communication is a cell phones, whether that's text messages, phone calls, or just gathering news and information, location, GPS, and maps based on your cell phone. That's most people's primary way of getting around and doing things. Also, lighting. When it's dark outside or when you need lighting, it's important to have charged lighting. So you have, whether that's a lantern for your campsite or a portable pocket flashlight or lighting on, maybe it's a firearm light or a headlamp. Having a lot of batteries is good, but batteries also die. And so what happens when your batteries are dead? Are you still able to power lighting? Radios are very important as well, whether that be gathering information with just an AM/FM type radio or shortwave, or two-way radios that we use to communicate with friends, family, group members, or emergency services. So radios are also an important thing to have to be able to power. And then GPS units. Some people like to keep track of where they're going using GPS units. So if those go down, hopefully you know your land navigation and are able to read a map and use a compass. But some people really enjoy having that GPS unit. And so to be able to, if you have one that you like to rely on, or maybe you have one that like the Garmin InReach, which has a ability to send messages back to loved ones. Say you're hiking or camping, or you're out and about and you want to use that in normal times where it's not an emergency, and just be able to communicate with your family. How can you keep that powered up? We're going to go through three different types of thought processes here. We want to be able to have a power source. So these are important. When you are talking about portable power, or any kind of power for that matter, you need to have some kind of a source of the power. Then you need to be able to store that power should it be something that you're doing on the move. So if it's regular grid up and your power's up, you don't really need to store power. You just plug your phone or your battery into the wall and you can charge it. But should the grid go down and you need to move, well, you don't have that source of power anymore. So you need to have a way to store power. Think of it like water. When the faucets are working, you can just go get a glass of water. But if you're away from a water source like your house and you're out and about and you want a drink, well, you need to be able to store that water in something. So think about like a 5-gallon jug or a Nalgene 1-liter water bottle or a 55-gallon drum of water. That's a good way to think about your power storage needs. We're going to talk about different sizes and different capacities for storing power. But think about it, if you could think about it like water and you need something to drink and how much do you have available to you, that's a good way to look at it. And then also too, a way to convert power from one voltage to another, which we call inverters. So if you have a 12-volt battery and then you want to power a 120-volt piece of equipment, whether that be a charger for a phone or a radio or something of that matter, of that nature, then you need to be able to transform that from the one voltage to the other. So that would be a third item that we need to take into consideration. So power sources. There's multiple different types of power sources that are out there. We talked about our primary. When we look at PACE plan analysis, our primary mode for power normally would be 120-volt outlet coming from a hydroelectric dam, a coal-fired power plant, or a nuclear power plant. When those are up and running and the transmission lines are all good, you just go to your house outlet, plug something in, flip the switch, the lights go on, and you're good to go. But how often have you experienced a power outage? Many people experience those on a regular basis, whether that be from a windstorm, snowstorm, ice storm, things of that nature. But also, it could be from overloaded electrical systems that may cause rolling blackouts. My neighbor is an interesting guy. He flies planes and does aerial mapping. And he works with power utility companies. And he was talking to some local utility managers, and they were telling him about the problems that they're anticipating this summer with the power grid. They told him to possibly think about preparing for rolling blackouts, that he could expect that there would be possibly times during the peak summer months where they would lose power to the grid. And it wasn't from an accident or an emergency, but it's just going to be from an overloaded system. And I was confused with that. And I said, well, that's kind of weird. We usually have great energy around here. But he said that due to the increase in the use of electric vehicles and the big push by government to get people off of using that nasty gas stove and using electric, and the environmental concerns that they have where they're trying to get rid of dams and do different things, we have this cheap available power, but yet because of these silly concerns that are not in the human being's best interest, we're going to start having some problems. And it was at the point he was so serious that he went out and bought a whole house propane generator, and he spent many thousands of dollars hooking up a whole house generator, a large 10 kW generator base with a big propane tank outside his home. This guy's pretty smart, and I'm taking it seriously what he said. So being aware that you may not have your normal power source all the time is a very important thing to think about. And even here, as I'm recording this, it was brought to my attention that there was actually an excerpt on Fox News, and now I'm not watching much TV these days. I get most of my internet or my information, my news from multiple sources throughout the internet and other places. So I pay a little attention to the mainstream media on the TV. But it was brought to my attention that there was a segment on Fox News talking specifically about the blackouts in Washington State. So there you go, another source of confirmation. So besides a 120-volt outlet, what are some other power sources that we have available to us? How about the handy-dandy generator? A lot of people have a standard generator, gasoline powered. You can run electrical equipment off of that. You pull the handle and start that thing up. Some of them are pretty loud. You can get ones that are a little more quiet, but they will, you know, they run from anywhere from like a 2000 watt Honda generator up to large 10,000 watt generators they have that can power a lot of the critical needs of a regular single family house. So generators are a great source of power in an emergency. What are some of the problems about generators, gasoline powered generators? Well, one is the sound. They're very loud. And so should you be running your generator and other people don't have power and it's some kind of a situation where there's an emergency, maybe a breakdown in the rule of law or things where there's a disaster and there's desperate people out there, if they hear your generator, they're thinking a couple things. Number one, that guy's got power. He probably has a refrigerator with food in it that's still good. He may have other items, being a prepared individual, that might help us out because we have nothing and we're desperate. Generators do have some drawbacks, and there's ways to get around that. And we'll talk about that a little bit in a minute. What are some other power sources that you might have available to you? A big one that a lot of people are focusing on right now in the preparedness community and others is solar power. Solar power is great during the day when the sun is shining, which is in some places more than others. So to have solar panels that can gather energy from the sun, what are some of the benefits? It's free, and that's great. It's quiet. It's not loud and doesn't sound, it doesn't draw attention to you when you're gathering solar power. So that's something that's a benefit. But at night and when the sun is not shining, should it be winter and overcast, you're not going to get quite the power that you would on sunny days. So something to think about. One other source of power that some people forget is your vehicle. If you think about it, that vehicle sitting in your driveway is a giant generator. It has it's a gasoline-powered engine that has an alternator on there that will generate electricity. And that electricity is 12 volts coming out that's charging the battery of your vehicle. So now you have a generator and you have storage right there in your driveway. Some of the pros and cons to that are, number one, you've got a limited amount of gas in that vehicle. And if you use that gas up charging things, you're not going to be able to actually drive somewhere. But the positive on that is it's always available to you, and you will need to convert that to 120 volts should you want to use standard electrical outlet type products. So some of the newer vehicles actually have a plug built into them where they have a built-in inverter, but if you don't, they're pretty inexpensive. You can get them depending on the size that you want, but it has the little cigarette outlet type plug that plugs right in. And then it will transform the 12 volts of the vehicle into 120 volts, which would be usable by a standard three-prong outlet. So that's a very easy thing to buy and have under your seat of your vehicle or in your emergency kit to be able to do that. So charging a cell phone, now most people have cell phone chargers that can plug right into the USB of their car or whatever. But to charge radios or lighting or other items that need a 120-volt plug, an inverter is a valuable thing to have. So those are some of the power sources that we have. Now, what are the means that we have to store energy? Well, batteries are obviously the thing that we use. So you think about like your car battery, standard batteries over the years have been a lead acid type batteries, and they do a good job for storing enough up to start a vehicle. But they are very heavy and big for the amount of storage that they actually use. Latest technology is coming around, which is lithium iron phosphate batteries, and those are very good. They are very, they have a lot higher capacity, and they're lighter weight. So that's the newer technology that's coming out there. So we got batteries. There's all kinds of different sizes of batteries. So it's important to think about your use that you're going to be using the batteries for. So whether that be portable, which we want to be able to put in a rucksack, a backpack, and carry with you for long periods of time, or whether you're going to be mobile, that would be in a vehicle. So this would be something that could be a little heavier, a little bit bigger, and that you could have drive with you around, or whether it's going to be at a base station. So this would be like at your home base, your bug out location, your home, or some type of base station where it's not going to be moving. It's going to be sitting in a static location. So depending on the use case, the different sizes are going to be employed. So as far as storage batteries, you have small devices. Your actual device can store power. So you'd have a charged phone that can store a certain amount of power. And there are other devices that can be used as a storage battery as well. I have some lanterns that I have and flashlights that the battery itself can be used to charge other items. So it's a lantern that has a plug-in for a USB that would allow you to charge a cell phone. I have a flashlight that does that as well. Another item that I have recently purchased is the NoCo Boost Pro GB150 battery charger. This is a jump starter for your car. It's kind of like the ones you can buy at Costco that we've talked about before. It's a battery bank. It's probably about 12 inches wide, and then about 3 inches thick and about 5 inches wide. And so it fits underneath the seat of your car, has the two jumper alligator clinic clips for going onto your jump in your battery or your car. But it also will act as an external battery source. So you can plug in a USB to this, and then you can charge other items. And I know some people have been using this and experimenting on powering base station radios out in the field or mobile radios out in the field with this particular battery bank. So something to think about. Something that has a dual purpose, a dual use, is a great way to go. It's in preparedness. Also, they have solar generators is what they call them. And it's kind of weird. They call it a solar generator. What it is it's a battery bank with a built-in inverter and a built-in charge controller. So all you have to do is take your solar panel, take the wires and plug those right into this solar generator, and it will charge the battery on there, and you will have portable power. You can also charge that from a 120-volt outlet or a 12-volt vehicle cigarette lighter type unit. And so the key is on that is anytime you're going from solar panels to a battery, you have to have a charge controller in there. So you either have to have an external one that you buy and wire into the system, or you get an item that has a built-in charge controller. So this is something to think about when you're using solar panels. So we talked about our power sources that we have. We've talked about different ways that you can store energy, and now we're also going to talk about the different specific types we'd have for each of these different items, whether that be portable, mobile, or a base. So when we talked about portable, like we mentioned earlier, we're talking about having a ruck, your backpack. So this is something you're walking, whether you're either just going for a hike with your family for a couple days in the woods, you're out training with your team, or you're actually stuff is going crazy and you are out and about moving on the move and you don't have a place to lay your head as far as a house or a bug out location. And so you are mobile. In this situation, a small solar panel is a very nice thing to have. A good friend of mine who's works with me on my team, he has a really nice setup. He uses the Nomad Goal Zero chargers. They're a great set of chargers, and they have various power sizes that you can have as far as how much power you need. And then with that small solar panel, you'll need some type of small battery bank. Now, they make all kinds of different sizes. You can look on Amazon and find those. Different preparedness companies like Ready Made Resources and others like that have these as well. I'm looking at one right now that I have. It's called the Fusion Pod. And I got this in a battle box that I subscribe to through my good friend Joe Dolio's Tactical Wisdom website. And so he will give you a discount on battle boxes if you want to get one of those. So I've been getting those, and it's kind of interesting. This Fusion Pod has a built-in light on it, pretty good light. And it also has a built-in solar panel right into the battery bank. And then it acts as a battery charger. So it has two USB outlets on it. So it can either charge by solar, or you can plug in to 120 volts and charge this. And it's just a little bit bigger than a deck of playing cards. It's actually about the size of my cell phone. It's 5 volts, 2 amps, has a capacity of 8,000 milliamp hours. So it, you know, not a lot of power there, but it can charge your phone, charge and run some lighting and things of that nature. So something to think about. It's a great lightweight portable system. And these are cool too, because some of the new lighting systems that they have, I have this string light set that I got, and it stretches out to about 20 feet, and it's just really, really tiny LEDs, and it plugs into a USB, but it gives you a lot of light. And so it would be something to think about, like getting away from, you know, standard flashlights and batteries and getting away some of these systems that just plug into a USB and give you a lot of lighting. So that's pretty cool. Also having flashlights and lanterns that are powered by USB that are rechargeable. More and more, if I can, I'm getting flashlights that don't have to take external batteries. They just plug into a mini USB connector, and I can charge those via solar, via solar generator system, a vehicle, or 120 volt outlets. So that's kind of a cool way to go as far as being prepared and setting your systems up. So this little system, this little thing here, is less than 10 ounces. And it's pretty nice. They're about $20. You can get these on Amazon, and you can even get ones that are higher capacity on Amazon that are around that same price range. So pretty inexpensive for a small portable battery pack. If we're moving into the mobile arena where you're in a vehicle, then you can start bumping up the size of your solar panels. You can also bump up the weight on your battery systems. Along with that, you get increase in power, but you increase the dollars as well. So I'm kind of jumping up really quick here to the in price to the EcoFlow Delta, which is what I have. It's a 1 kilowatt hour battery, so 1,000 watt hour battery. It's a pretty nice system, 1,800 watts, and it's a nice bank. I'm looking at it right now, sitting on my thing. You've got multiple USB outlets on the front. We've got USB-C outlets. As we flip around to the back here, I've got 6 120-volt outlets on the back. It's also got a 12-volt DC car-type outlet, cigarette lighter-type outlet on the back. So it's a pretty cool system. And the beauty of this is it has, like I mentioned before, the built-in solar charge controller and a built-in inverter. So it's taking it'll take charge from 12 volts. It'll take charge from 120 volts. It'll take your cord right out of your, so on the solar panels, a lot of them have an MC4 connector is what they call it. And it's the, they'll have a male and a female one. And then you plug that into the male and female of the adapter. And then it plugs right in to the EcoFlow solar generator. And so it's a pretty cool unit. It's, you know, it's about the size of, you know, a little smaller than a mailbox. They're not very light. You're not going to carry this thing too far, but it is easy for one person to move around. Also, Goal Zero makes some nice units. I just got a new solar panel, and this is, it's kind of the size of about a briefcase. And it folds out, and it's the Goal Zero Nomad 50. And I paid about $200 for that. And so it's a 50 watt solar panel. And so this is, and the connectors on the back of that, it has a USB connector, but then it also has a special connector that's you can put multiple of these together and connect these. And so you can charge items directly off the USB thing on there, which is kind of nice. And so anyways, that's the goal, zero Nomad 50 portable solar panels. And the beauty of that is that you could also, I could take that and put that in a backpack as well. It's a little big, would be a little heavy, but it's got quite a bit of capabilities. And then moving on from that, and like I say, each one of these items, there is so many different brands out there. I'm not going to try to tap into every single one. There are guys that have done huge YouTube videos on there. They're City Prepper's got a bunch of stuff on there. There's a whole bunch of people on YouTube. If you just type in battery banks, solar generators, there's tons of comparisons out there. You can find the one that meets the needs for you. But I'm just kind of giving you a rough idea of the way to go on this. When you get down to base stations, then you might want to start thinking about some bigger fixed solar panels rather than the fold-up ones. These would be like 100 watts and up. I have some of the Renogy 100-watt solar panels. If you look those up on Amazon right now, they're going for about a two-pack for $160, so that's about $80 a piece. It's really inexpensive. I bought three two-packs of those last year so I could run those six, and I bought the connectors so that I can wire those all together so I can have 600 watts of panels laid out, and they're relatively easy to handle. They're not too big, but they would be something you wouldn't want to be. You could put a couple of those in your vehicle, no problem, but they're something you'd want to run on a base station or have mounted somewhere. And then I also have a large 300-watt panel that I had got a while back, and that's a pretty big panel, but it gives you quite a bit of energy. They're not too cheap, but if you want to have a fixed location with a base station, you want to be as efficient as you can with your power. As far as bumping up in battery storage, also in size and in price, I recently talked about this on the podcast, but I've got the EcoFlow Pro, and that's a 3.6 kilowatt hour battery, 3,600 watt hours. It's a nice battery bank. And I've got the main unit and then the two slave units. So they're just two extra units that don't have all the outlets on there, but they wire in to each other. So those three units, I got over 10 kW of battery storage. So it's a pretty nice system. And so with those larger solar panels running those, it's great. We had a power outage here last year for 3-4 days. And I talked about that on the podcast, and I was able to just plug the 120 volt outlet right under the wall. And then I ran my refrigerators and freezers, multiple of them, into the EcoFlow Pro, and it powered the freezers and refrigerators. And when I did want to recharge, I would run my generator during the day. And that way it's the loud noise is when I'm up and about and moving around and other people have generators running and people are, you know, it's not as conspicuous to have a generator running during the daytime. But then at night, I could turn off the generator in the evening and the battery bank powered my appliances through the night. And so it was a pretty slick way to go. I didn't even have to disconnect them. I just left them plugged into the battery bank. When the generator was on, the house was being powered through the outlet, powered the battery bank. And then at night, when the power went off, it just switched right over, kind of like a UPS system on a computer. So that was a good way to go. But if you're thinking about, like, say, at a base station, you're out in the woods and you got a camp set up, you might have your solar panels out with a larger battery bank set up, powering some fixed base station radios, you know, 40, 50 watt units. And you could do that a lot easier with a battery bank of that size. That's just a little primer on portable power systems and things to think about. You can start doing some research from there and decide, hey, am I able to, if I'm just with my backpack and I'm out moving with my go bag, am I able to charge my flashlights? Am I able to charge my radios, my GPS units? Oh, and one thing I just thought about as well, if you have regular throwaway batteries, you might want to start thinking about buying some nickel metal hydride is the rechargeable batteries that you get like for the AA or AAAs. Start getting those type of batteries so that you can use your solar panels, charge your batteries down the road so that if you do have units that need regular batteries, you can keep charging those for a longer period of time than just your throwaway batteries. So that's another trick that would be good for preparedness for long term. So having rechargeable AAs, AAAs, Cs and Ds is a good way to go. some items to think about, whether you're portable, whether you're good to go, whether you're mobile in your vehicle, do you have the ability to gather and store energy? And if you're in some type of base station, whether that be at your house or away from your house, larger capacities for larger type equipment. I'm happy to be back with you. It's been a little while since we had our last podcast, and we're going to get ramping up some more this summer, have a lot more going on. Something to leave you with here a couple days ago, some friends of mine, we went down to Seattle, which I don't like going very often, but this was for a special occasion. I don't know if many of you heard the band Striper. I grew up with them back in the 80s. They're a great Christian rock band that play music that gives glory to God. And so they're a great band. They've got a lot of new music out, and we saw them down in Seattle at Eric Corazon venue down there, and it was a great concert. I'm just starting to get my hearing back after about 3-4 days. Ending the show, we'll end with a little Striper revelation. Thanks for joining us on the Project 223 podcast. You guys are awesome. Thanks for tuning in, and we're going to have some more great shows coming up soon. So looking forward to seeing you then. From the Eagle's Nest, Bald Eagle is out. To hell with the devil.